tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Friday Eve. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And today we are celebrating Women's History Month. Throughout the course of the show, we've got a great lineup of guests. I'm going to take a particular focus on women in media because, let's be honest, until frankly fairly recent times in the arc of the broadcast media universe, there weren't a lot of us out here, certainly very few of us talking political smack every day on talk radio. But I wanted to start with someone who actually knows a bit about women's representations in culture and throughout history. Her name is Dr. Ulla Klein. She is a professor and head of the Women's and Gender Studies program at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh. She joined the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh back in 2020. Boy, I bet that was an interesting time. And we're going to talk a little bit about women in literature and how that is a reflection of culture. But let's start with the basics, Dr. Klein. What is women's studies and why is it important?
So women's studies was the academic arm of the women's movement in the 1970s. It was a reaction to the fact that there were these activist women who were agitating for women's rights in the 60s and 70s, and they were, a lot of them were in college, and they were realizing that they had studied art history, they studied history, they studied literature, they hadn't learned anything about women. And there was even a big protest where a bunch of them burned their degrees as a protest because they were saying, well, I didn't learn anything about women authors, women artists. So they began to agitate to change that. And it started first with classes. And that happened here, actually. So the first, there were classes, right, in the UW system on women's literature, women's health issues. And then the programs started. And a lot of them started actually 50 years ago. So exactly 50 years ago, that academic year of 1974-1975 was the first year you could declare a women's studies minor at UW-Oshkosh.
So we're celebrating an anniversary as well. How fortuitous.
Yes.
Certainly throughout the course of my higher education, it was very remarkable to me. One, as an economist, I had very few women professors in the econ department. But even in my studies of literature and history, there's often sort of this gaping absence that mm-hmm. is quite noticeable. I was fortunate enough to have professors that were very intentional about at least helping to provide footholds for anyone, not just women, anybody who is interested in, well, what was happening for women or people of color or other folks that mm-hmm. that we weren't reading about in some of our literature classes. So when we talk about this in terms of a liberal arts education, can you help people understand that may not be predisposed to embrace what women are bringing to the table in terms of the study of history, culture, and literature? Why is it important, one, to have a good liberal arts basis of education? And secondly, why understanding women's role throughout the course of history and as reflected in these various art forms is absolutely essential, that you really have an incomplete understanding without it?
Well, I think a liberal arts education, I mean, it's about being able to enjoy life. I mean, life can't be just facts and statistics, right? That would be terrible.
Yes.
It can't just be work, right? It can't just be the day-to-day, right? I was literally just talking to my students about this as part of our class. I took them to the gallery on campus to look at an exhibit of prints by women. And I think it's so important to have that. And we talked about how just life-giving it is to have creativity in our lives, to be able to appreciate art and literature. There's this big kind of like discourse in our world right now, like, oh, you know, don't go to college, go to technical school, be a plumber, be an electrician. And I'm like, that's great. You know, it's great. Go to technical school, be a plumber, be an electrician, be a carpenter. Those things are wonderful. But you can be a plumber and still enjoy Shakespeare. And I think you should do that. I think everyone should have an opportunity to develop an appreciation of art and literature and music. Those things are what make us human. I'm a humanist, so yes. I think that that's really critical. And I think, you know, just look at babies, right? Babies start to bop to music mm-hmm. when they're like 6 months old. It's part of who we are, right? Being able to understand the world around us, being able to think critically about things, being able to have those conversations about anything in the world. I think that's part of being human.
Yes.
And it gives us that value added to our experience. And when you don't understand what half the population is bringing to the world, then again, those voices are not being heard, right? And it's also an imperfect picture of the world around us. Women have contributed so much to our world. And in that same class yesterday, we read Alice Walker's beautiful essay, In Search of Our Mother's Gardens, where she asks us to rethink art. Right?
Yes.
She says, you know, my mother had this gorgeous garden and she made our poverty feel less poor because she brought this beauty into our lives. And you wouldn't always think of gardens as art because it's not a painting on a wall that lasts forever. It's this thing that you have to remake every year, but it's art. It's beautiful and it takes a lot of work. And, you know, I asked my students, how many of you have mothers and grandmothers who are artists? And, you know, no one raised their hand. And then I asked, well, how many of you had a beautiful birthday cake? How many of you had, you know, decorations for holidays? How many of you had female relatives who sewed you clothing or knitted you a scarf? You know, those things are things of beauty that enrich our lives. And, you know, let's not discount that. You know, we can have different definitions of art and artistry that enrich our lives. And women's art is sometimes different than what we have been taught to think of it. Beyond that, you know,
go ahead, Dr.
I was just going to say, you know, like, you know, Hedy Lamarr, the actress, like created like the version of Wi-Fi that we need for our phones, and Ada Lovelace created the first computer, and Rosemary Watson, you know, created, sequenced DNA, and we had women who've been to space, and we've had women who identified comets in the 19th century who are astronomers. And, you know, there's all these women who contributed to the sciences and technology that we just haven't been taught about. There were women who fought in wars, who led armies, and we just have this persistent story that women just don't do those things. And so I think women's studies helps us kind of find those stories and those voices, and also to change our way of thinking about what women can and can't do.
Change our way of thinking in a much more, what I would offer is a complete understanding, a much more expansive view, not just of our shared histories, inextricably intertwined histories of men and women and culture and science and technology, right? In a way that allows you, I think, to better understand your place, man or woman or someone that embraces they, them pronouns, right? To understand your place in the world, having this more complete, really more expansive understanding is so central. I remember when I was a baby lawyer in New York and I was practicing in securities litigation, which one would think would have absolutely nothing to do with art and history and culture. I had a partner come by my office at about 10:30 at night and proceeded to have a conversation with me that was about everything but the law. This partner wanted to know whether I understood all of this other stuff, what I'm going to call the liberal arts basis. Did I know about art and history and literature and culture? And what about that engaged me? That was their test of whether they wanted me working on their cases. They didn't want an automaton. They wanted someone that had all of the benefit of these complexities that are there for us to see and enjoy and study and be challenged by. And I think the idea that this is somehow an either or, right? Either we're going to train people to be competent technical experts, or we're going to have people that don't want to engage in any sort of productive value add, as an economist might measure it, capacity in society if they're studying liberal arts, is a complete falsehood. You look at like one of the most astonishing and accomplished engineers, architects, and carpenters in history was Leonardo da Vinci, and most average folks wouldn't identify him as such. They would identify his art, but he was all of those things. I wanted to ask you, you have a particular focus on 18th century British literature, which many of us throughout the course of our high school and college years will touch in some way, shape, or form. The way that women are represented, yes, so if we're fortunate, Dr. Klein, tell us a little bit about why that was your chosen area of study. We got just a little bit over a minute left. We'll, of course, pick it back up. But let's start with what about that drew you in as a specialty area?
Well, you know, it was the women. It was the women. They were so much more exciting than the Victorian women. You know, they were prostitutes and they were running around with they were owning brothel houses and then they were also maids who were marrying their masters, and then they were falling out of carriages and had pet squirrels, and I don't know, it just seemed like a kind of crazy time. And then there were all these women in the 18th century whose stories were about like dressing as men and going in the army or going in the House of Lords, you know, sneaking in the House of Lords and or dressing as men and fighting duels. And I just thought that was also fascinating. And I just loved that. And I found it intriguing, and I was really into the Victorians, but that I read the 18th century stuff and I was like, no, this is
where
way
I'm
more
going.
Exciting.
Way yeah. more exciting. We're going to talk more with Dr. Ulla Klein, the director of the Women's and Gender Studies program at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh. When we come back, celebrating Women's History Month, we're going to talk about some of those specific women in 18th century British literature when we come back, and what it means for you today. What does it mean in our current political discourse? All coming up next, right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.